So, Bob, I'm glad to see you because I know after that first initial phone call, sounded like you were a bit concerned and kind of feeling pressured at home and felt like, you know, you really had to make the step to come in because your wife was being hard on you and there were just such tensions in the relationship from things.
Well, oh yeah, it was a situation where it's getting a little bit out of hand, and thank you for saying that you were glad to see me, because a lot of people are glad to see me, especially all the people I do business with. They're always happy to see me.
So you really make an impact on people.
Oh yeah, definitely. And that's how you get to be the top dog.
Okay.
You know, you can't get there and accomplish things if you don't make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm the best at what I do, and I take pride in that.
Mm-hmm. You put forth a lot of effort, and so to you, you feel like you've done a job well done, you put time and energy in it, and why in the world doesn't your wife, why don't the kids, why don't some other people around you understand that this is a product of hard work?
Exactly. And if you want the best, you got to be the best, and you got to put the best into it. And that's the thing that I don't think that my wife understands, because she wants this, 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 and this, and I do give it to her. But in order to give it to her, I've got to do this out here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to be number one in the business world.
Okay, I've heard you say a few times in the beginning of this session, the phrase the best. So that sounds like, you know, a repetitive theme about best and number one, you also said. So tell me about what that is like inside when you're like, I can say that about myself. It's not like someone else and say that, but inside, like, yeah, I can say I'm the best. I can say I'm, describe to me what that's like.
For me, it's accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't look at you if you don't do nothing. And the bottom line is, it's always got to be big. You've always got to do things the best. And that's why when I did that event with the company, it was the biggest, the best that this town has ever seen.
Wow. Now, I heard some really absolute words in there. So not only the best, but you said, I always have to be the best. So I'm wondering, I'm not saying that you are flawed as a person or that you have let people down or not done your best, but I'm just thinking, you know, we're both middle-aged here, and we both have gone through something in life. I mean, maybe you've gone through more than I have, who knows? But, you know, that word always, always being the best, how do you cope? Because maybe you can help me out here. How do you cope with when you're so driven to be the best and something in life just happens, whether it's another person, whether it's a life event or something that feels threatening to take that best from out under you? I mean, I can't imagine what that would be like, because the best is very important to you.
Oh, that's right. And if I'm not the best, then I'm a failure.
Wow, so it's all or nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. There's only one way only, and that is to get there, pull yourself up by the bootstrap, and be the best.
Mm-hmm. And so it's basically a matter, and correct me if I'm wrong, of saying you have to do things the, quote, right way.
Well, that's on a broad line there. Because sometimes you have to do what you have to do to get things done.
Okay, help me understand that.
Well, it's like this. As we say in the business world, okay, eat or be eaten.
There's a dog-eat-dog world. It's you got to be one step or 10 steps or 100 steps ahead of the next person.
Exactly, and that's why I have to have the brightest mind to be able to accomplish what I've accomplished.
Mm-hmm. What is it, you know, your wife was the one who was concerned, thought maybe it would be a benefit, might help your relationship. I know right now, I wanted to take the chance initially to meet with you alone, because I know everybody has their side of the story. You know, I've talked with her alone. I wanted to talk with you alone to hear, you know, so everybody felt it was fair. And maybe at some point, if you're open to it, if you're both open to it, we'll do some relationship counseling. But I felt like I really wanted to hear from you about this, you know, the always the best, always the top. Like you said, you feel like it's either failure or success. So there's no middle ground?
Not when it comes to business.
What about for your wife and kids? Is there, are they allowed to have a middle ground, or how does that work in a family?
Well, there's some flexibility there, but the demands are always that I have to produce, mm-hmm. and that I have to do this and that, and there seems to not be an appreciation, okay, mm-hmm. that I'm putting clothing on the back, all right? As you know how that goes, mm-hmm. that they have a nice home and a nice vehicle to drive and everything that I've done to put those things available to them.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's different kind of belief systems we have, and I'm going to try and rephrase what I think you said, and you can let me know if this possibly is another way of saying it, that, you know, if it weren't because of my hard work, if it wasn't because of my hard work, if it wasn't because of my determination, perseverance, and success-mindedness, the family wouldn't be doing as well as it is.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So are you saying 100% of the success of the family is because of all the hard work and determination and ambition you've had?
Well, with the way that I lead, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It comes by the way that I lead and the example I'm setting with all the hard work.
So that's why your wife, you feel, is able to do the things she's able to do, your kids are able to do. But I wonder, I just can't imagine, like I said, with us, me and you both being middle-aged, that there hasn't been some point where it felt like either the kids didn't measure up or embarrassed you or didn't live up to that same standard, or maybe the wife, even because life gets busy, didn't live up to the standard or be a reflection of your leadership, as you put it. I'm just wondering how you cope with those things when you have this standard of success. And I guess what I'm asking is, you know, does your family, your wife, your kids, do they buy into that same idea of success and to the level that you're really bought into that?
Well, sometimes I wonder if they are, because as I tell them, the standard is the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the standard that we're going to go with.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they have to realize that that's the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, it's not my fault, okay, if they don't look at it as the standard.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like there's maybe a unspoken or spoken rule about the standard. Is this something, I'm just curious, because, I mean, I again, haven't met with you and your wife together for any marital type of counseling, but did you do any premarital work, or in your first so many years of marriage, did you talk about expectations or roles or kind of daydreams about what the quote-unquote standards would be like maybe someday down the line?
Well, yes. And our little talk went simply like this. Here are the standards. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to accomplish it. Let's put our nose to the grindstone and do it. And I did it.
So when you said that there was a discussion, or there was, you know, a talk that went, this is what we're going to do. I want to be clear because I want to make sure I'm hearing you right. I don't want to misinterpret anything. So was this a two-way discussion where, you know, your wife is saying, yeah, or where, like you said, you took the leadership and said, you know what, I think I need to set the tone for our future. Like, you know, I'm wondering how much of a discussion there was, or if you were in the leadership role, or how did that go when you were looking into the future at the beginning?
Oh, of course I set the tone, because if we wanted to get there, I had to set a tone.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
So that's worked for you in life. I'd like you to think back, if you would, and take your time. You know, this is fascinating, and it may help me understand some of the dynamics when we do any marital counseling. Think back, if you can, to one of the earliest times. Could be in college years. It could have been as a young adult, teenager, maybe a child. Some of the times in the past where you learned to live by the standard, as you put it.
Oh, that was something that was always told for me from the get-go.
Told by who?
Oh, my parents. They drilled it in me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking drilled with a capital D.
Whoa.
They drilled it in me.
Uh-huh. Can you share an example? How far back can you go to think of an example where your parents drilled it in you, as you put it?
Oh, I even remember it as far back as 3 years old.
Wow.
Yes.
That's quite an expectation for a young one.
Yep.
Okay, what happened when you were three?
It was a situation to where I got there and I made a mess outside. Okay, plan. And I was told we are not going to have a messy yard.
Mm.
You're going to clean that up, and we're not going to take anything less than you cleaning that up as an answer.
Okay, so.
And if you want anything in life, you've got to press hard and do it.
Okay. And it sounds like Mom and Dad were on the same page there, that they agreed on the standard.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, so they agreed on the standard. They presented a united front, and they told you at age three that, almost like, don't explore. And they may not have used these words, but don't explore. Don't embarrass us. Don't mess up things. Don't do that typical kid stuff. Be a super kid.
That's right.
We got standards. Don't let us down. Don't let us down in this house.
Yep. So the standards were there.
Okay. 3 years old. So it sounds like you'd say that you're a pretty responsible guy, it sounds like. I mean, from 3 years old all the way to now?
Well, you have to be if you're going to be big and do things big like I do them.
Uh-huh. If you're going to do something, it's not worth doing if you don't put your all in it. Is that what you're saying?
All or nothing.
Uh-huh. Okay, and it's worked for you.
Yes.
So, you've won, you've had successes.
Yes.
I'm just wondering, though, I'm sure that you've realized as much as I have that sometimes life can be unfair, you know? And I'm just wondering if there's ever been times along the way where you gave your all and you really adhered to those standards, whether it was as a kid in your home, whether it was with other kids or young adults growing up, or now with all the business stuff and the accomplishments that you're doing, and that not everyone around you buys into the standards. I mean, what is that like for you when you really have bought into these standards? From age 3 to age 40-something, you're buying into the standards. That's a long time, 30-plus years, 40-plus years. To buy into them so much so that you want your own family to have these standards. And someone out there may not agree with them. And maybe be the opposite end of the continuum.
Well, I replace them.
Okay. So, if you can't join me with the standards, don't bring me down, basically.
Yep, I replace them.
Okay. How's that worked in the business world? Because right now I know we're talking currently about with business that you've risen to the top, as you put it, because of your standards. How's that worked if there was a business partner or someone who...
I only use the best of the best. And I've had to tell them, you're fired.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so no qualms about, you know, letting them know what the standards are. And it sounds like you're very direct about that.
Yep.
It's not as much as a discussion as you're the manager and you're going to state, this is the minimal that I expect to happen. If you can't do it, then you can't cut it with us.
Exactly.
Have you met many people in life? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Because I don't have time not to have success.
So let's pause. I know this is not what you want to think about because you're so success and the standards minded. Ooh, let's not maybe jump to failure because you said not to be successful would be failure. But maybe something a little bit where it's not a complete success. Maybe it's going pretty well. You or someone else has tried their best, but you don't get the contract or the deal. You don't make as much money as you feel like you're worth. The offer isn't as good, or people don't really give you as much credit as you feel like you deserve.
How do you manage that?
Yeah, I was betting that at some point, someone in there
has it. That's where I take the approach that, you know what? I'm going to show them, and I'm going to be bigger, better, and badder.
Okay. And if they can't come along for the ride?
Then they get left in the dust.
Okay. And how do you do that? You just either fire them, it sounds like, if they were an employee?
Or if I'm in the process of negotiating, sometimes you've got to walk away to get your message across, and then they'll come begging back at you later.
So you.
And when they come begging back, case in point.
It just reinforces the idea that they're coming back. They know they were wrong. They know that they better step it up. Okay, they've seen the error of their ways, I guess you could say.
Exactly.
I'm just thinking, this is a wild thought. I mean, it's probably, I don't know if it's one you've even considered, but I can imagine some ordinary person who's not as passionate about success as you are and as hardworking as you are might have thought about it, though, about what if you don't perfectly succeed at something? What if you give your all, or what if you try and it just doesn't work out? Not because of other people's failure, or maybe someone doesn't really appreciate all the effort you put in.
Well, that's where you gotta work harder and move on. I don't have time for them.
So that brings me to a point. One of the words that we talk about in counseling, that's a red flag. It's kind of a dangerous word, is a word enough. Because it's so random. We all have these imaginary ideas in our head of, if only I do enough, then I got the deal. If only I do more. If only I work hard enough. If only I daydream enough. If only I create enough of this product or, you know, really make an impact enough, then I'll get the outcome. But that almost makes me think of the assumption of if I do the good, right, perfect things, things will go great in life. And if you flub up then and life doesn't work out well, that's only for those people who don't put effort in. But we know that's not true, that sometimes there's people who don't put in much effort and something pretty good happens to them. I mean, you see, come on, you and I have seen on the TV lately, we were talking earlier and joking about some of these celebrities that it's like, how in the world did they get that number one song, you know, what do they have? How did that person get their businesses so popular, you know? So what do you make of that? That there are people that maybe don't put the time and effort and energy in, don't have the standards you have, or put that in, and like somehow gives them something good. Maybe even better than what you get.
They got lucky.
Mm-hmm. But so it won't keep happening, probably.
It won't keep happening. Because the bottom line is, sometimes you got to win at all cost.
Mm-hmm. Now that's an interesting analogy. That win. So if you're not a winner, would you say then you're a loser? There's not much in between?
There's only two ways the game is played. You either win the game or you lose the game.
Mm-hmm. How does that work with your kids? Let's say with your kids or wife, there was an area that, let's say, as students, or your wife and something around the house, or like the new car you got, or maybe she's trying to learn all the buttons on it and what goes for what. And maybe they don't understand or they don't know. How do you deal with that if it's not up to par?
Well, it's like this. That's why I brought in a special person to teach it, to tutor it.
Mm-hmm. An expert.
Yes, and they know my expectation is, since they're the expert,
mm-hmm.
and I'm paying them good money,
mm-hmm.
they better get the job done.
So things like tutoring your kids or helping your wife if she needs someone to help her in an area, that
yep.
you're willing to put the time and money in to say, okay, not to say you're not an expert, because you've already established that you feel, but that you can recognize who's the best in their areas, and you'll pull in with the time and energy, whoever or whatever resources are needed to make sure everybody's getting the top-notch standard.
Yeah, because the standard is the standard, and we're in it to win it.
Mm-hmm.
And people, when they realize that we're going to win, we're going to keep winning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's not been tiring. That's not been draining. You've been able to keep up with that pace.
Yep. Because I know when I let go and let it down, then things won't be where they need to be.
Mm-hmm. Problem is, I've not known too many people who've been able to stay at that pace without using drugs to stay at that pace, or having a health issue, or something, a price to be paid. Have you felt like you've had to pay any price emotionally, like time with your family, or money, or health-wise?
Well,
or
there always is a price. There always is. And so because there always is a price, you just expect it, because you know you got to meet the standard.
Mm-hmm. So you talked about 3-year-old Bob, and you've talked about 40-something-year-old Bob. I'm wondering, in those decades in between, right now I know you bought into the standard, and I know it's easier for those of us who are on the other side, like as adults, to look at the things that we see as positive and our parents to say, oh, they did have a point to that. But I'm just wondering, was there ever a time where you thought, gosh, this is awfully hard. My parents with the standards, or whoever out there, it's just too much. This is ridiculous. This is just too extreme.
There are always going to be times where you think stuff is hard. That's a part of life. But what's the number one goal?
So what do you do with that feeling? Let's sit with that feeling for a minute. Because one of the things I can hear is that you're very logic-oriented. It's helped you to succeed. you're able to think, if I do ABC, I get a 1, 2, 3 ABC. If I plan this, da-da-da happens. If I do this expert thing, then so I hear the analytical mind at work. I hear the wheels turning and stuff. But one of the things I haven't heard so far as we've talked, and I'm not saying be some mushy whatever person, but until now, this was the first time I heard, you know, you saying, yeah, there can be frustration in that. But you didn't stay there for very long. It's like, but you move on. So let's see if we could, I'm not saying this will be easy, but if we could freeze in time one of those moments where there was frustration. Can you think back before you pressed on, before you, you know, persevered? Because I know you persevered quite a bit. But can you think of an example of a time where that frustration was there and you maybe didn't fully feel that total enthusiasm initially about going for the success?
My first business deal. Got there, was looking at some real estate. And the negotiations were taking a long time.
Okay.
And the person I was negotiating with didn't want to come down in price.
So they were pretty stubborn. They had their standards that were different from your standards, I guess.
in which they inflated the price.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so, yeah, I got frustrated. But the wheels got to turning. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to use one of my other people I know to get them to see things my way.
And that worked out for you?
Initially, no. But then when it didn't sell after 6 months, they came begging back to me. But by then, you see, I had the leverage. And that's sometimes what it's all about. Who's got the leverage and who's going to be the smart mind in the negotiations?
So there can only be one. If I hear you right, there can only be one smart mind. There can only be one winner, as you used the word win earlier.
Yep.
Can't be two different successful ways that are different.
Oh, there can be other ways that are different. But if you're going to come out top peak, like I said, you've always got to have the best. That's why I'm like, I bring in the best people.
Let's go back to the frustration, though. I heard you move pretty quickly there from, yeah, I was frustrated. And then I heard that little word in there, but I involved someone. So let's back up to before the word but. Let's stay at the place of, yes, I was frustrated. Have you ever allowed yourself enough time to stay in a place of frustration and deal with what it's like to feel that? Because from where I sit, it seems like a life from age 3 on of go, 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 go. Do your best. And again, that's admirable in so many ways. But yet I do hear, just like anybody else, even though you're a shining example in many ways, that there's still frustrations in life. There's still feelings to deal with. And I just wonder where they go. Where's there room for to deal with frustration?
Easy. I sit there and I let people know.
How do you communicate to them?
Just like anybody would. I just come up and just let them have it. I let them know that this is the way it's going to be. This is the way it has to be. This is what we need to do to get it done.
So it seems like you always have an answer for every problem. You always have a solution or a creative idea.
You have to.
Or
failure.
And that's not allowed?
Nope.
It's not allowed in the standard?
Nope.
Is there any area between success and failure?
As some people put it, mediocrity.
I'm not talking about a total slacking off. I'm not talking about not putting your best foot forward. But is there a time where, let's use the example of the 3-year-old, Bob, where you get to color outside the lines a little bit, so to speak, where you get to explore a little bit, where you get to allow something to not go maybe the way it was exactly planned and perfectly plotted and executed, but that you actually see that there could be a blessing, as weird as this may sound, in what you're calling failure. I'm not saying total reckless. I mean, I know you'll never be, we know, you'll never be a reckless person, an impulsive person, and I wouldn't suggest that. But have you ever seen anything good come out of something that you thought maybe wasn't a perfect success?
It has always been stay within the lines, mm-hmm, and follow it.
Mm-hmm. It's safer that way.
Except that there was a one saying that, mm-hmm, I heard a long time ago, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Mm. So let's talk about when we do certain behaviors, we do them because there's a benefit, or we perceive there's a benefit. So things I've heard you say, the standards are important. You listen to the standards. Success is the ultimate goal in life. Do what you have to get to the point where you have the outcomes that you want or that you need. I just think of, I'm wondering, for you, how has that line of thinking really benefited you? How is it, because we don't do things that we don't think make a difference. I mean, I'm thinking some people out there might have looked as you were growing up and thinking, oh man, glad I don't have those parents. I'm glad my parents don't have those standards. I mean, what was it like for you to play with other kids? Like, did you go, I mean, I'm just kind of curious, you know, did you go to other kids' houses where their parents actually let them have toys all over the floor?
Not
or in the
really.
Yard? Did you have friends that you played with, or did you pretty much stay in the house with mom and dad, or what happened?
Pretty much just at school.
Oh. So, sounds like the, quote, standards weren't the same. At school, there was room to explore. There was room for, well, what you might have called failure.
You could say that.
There was room. Are you talking like on the playground, in the elementary school classroom, in the art class?
Yep, you could say that. And that's why I always wanted to be and was the best.
And that did how did that work out in the relationships growing up, and how's it working now in your marriage and family? I mean, internally, it's definitely working for you. For you, it works. The standards rule. But if I heard you right, you said as a kid, day-to-day life outside of school, you really didn't have friends. You really didn't know what it was like to just go to another kid's house and hang out and not have the standards looming over your head like a cloud. How has this affected at all your relationships?
I never thought of it that way. Because the bottom line has been, the standard is the standard and success.
I know it's a new way of thinking. That's why I think maybe you and your wife have had some of the tensions that you've had. And I'm not saying her standards are the right standards either. But definitely when I've met with her and I've met with you so far, I've definitely heard some different standards. I think in a lot of relationships, actually in every relationship or marriage or couple, there's standards, and sometimes they're even unspoken. But they can be awfully strong. And when there's differences, you know, people might behave one way for the standards and to maintain the peace. But inside, they might think, oh, I don't know if I agree with this. Or I have another standard. Would there be any room for us to do any marriage counseling and maybe see about coming up with a set of standards that could maybe pull some of the best of the stuff you've thought of? And if there are any things that could be helpful that your wife or your kids or business associates might have to offer.
Going back to the business world, there's always room for negotiations.
So that's something to think about. So one of the things I'm wondering if you would be willing to do, I usually like to give my clients homework assignments, and I know you're a persevering, hardworking, determined kind of guy. I am also having your wife do this separately, and I would encourage you, as tempting as it is, not to share with each other until we all come back together, her, you, and me together.
Oh, so in other words, don't let the trade secrets out.
Well, what I'm saying is I've asked you both for homework on your own to make a list of sort of like your top 10 hypothetical rules, or what I call the shoulds of a successful relationship, business. You've used the word success, so I'm using your word here. Again, these are not, it's not me refereeing that yours or hers are right or wrong. But when we come together, we'll be able to actually talk about those and maybe take a look at where some of those come from. So I'll just throw an imaginary one out there that some people had, like in our grandparents' day. Things like children are to be seen and not heard. You don't disrupt things at the dinner table. When dad or mom or whoever comes home from work, you know, you keep quiet and until, you know, you're to keep quiet and, you know, stay in your area and don't rock the boat, basically. Don't cause trouble. Some people have standards about how they handle conflict. Some people have standards or shoulds about how much or how little time they're going to put into their work or their job, or how much family time or couple time they should have. I'm betting after talking with your wife and you that you both have standards. They may be somewhat different. And again, I'm sure each of you pride yourself on those standards, or you wouldn't have some of the successes you've had. But I'm also wondering and thinking we might need to reevaluate a little bit. And as you put it, do a little negotiating. So, would you be willing to do something like that? And write does, again, it's going to be so tempting to want to talk with her ahead of time. But I think what's really beneficial is if we can if I can help facilitate that talk in real time. And it's probably not going to be one session. It might be two or three sessions to make sure she hears the importance of the things you've held dear from 3 years old to almost 50 years old. That's a long time to hold on to something. And for you to be able to hear the importance of the things she holds dear. Is that something you'd be willing to do?
Yeah, I can do it. And then that way too, she can also see that I'm a good guy.
So, I mean, I know you come here. I know it's not like probably the way you want to spend your time, but to appease her and to kind of keep the peace, you did a little negotiation of, okay, I'll go to this therapist and see whatever. So I see where you're coming from. But I want to give both of you a voice. And since I hear this repetitive theme about standards, I think it's a pretty important thing. I'm not sure, as busy as you've been with work, I'm not sure that you've had a chance to share as clearly as you have with me, with her, or with the kids or whatever, about the impact of years and years of these standards, especially the mental impact on you. I mean, boy, are you a thinker. So.
Well, to get to the best, you got to be the best.
Mm-hmm. And that might be one of the standards. I encourage you to write down about if you don't do your best, it's not worth doing. And then we'll talk about that definition of best, you know, according to who. Who gets to judge the best? You know, we'll talk about that in our upcoming sessions. So if we can, if you and her can maybe talk, give me a call back and we'll look at a time when the three of us can meet together after the two of you have made your list. And again, like I said, my goal will not be to referee whose list is more or less right. But first of all, just to help each of you learn to listen and put yourself in each other's shoes. And then we'll see from there, you know, how we can maybe come up with some degree of a combined standard. So, you said you're willing to do that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm willing to negotiate.
Okay, well,
Because they know that I'm one of the best negotiators around.
Well, and that's something, too. We'll start off the session, when both of you bring in the things, with some guidelines. Since you like standards, I like standards, too, in a lot of ways. I think it's important to set up for you and her, even at home, what the guidelines are when you're talking with each other. Because otherwise, ooh, and this is with all couples. It's not unique to you and her. It's easy for one or the other or both of you to push each other's button. Man, you get a topic either you are real strong about or something you're passionate or this is what means success or this is the right way of doing it. So that's where I think we'll set up some guidelines. We'll limit the time about how much we're going to talk about each topic and give some listening skills and some guidelines for that so it could be focused, not just haphazard. So I'll wait to hear back from you and her then, and we'll get this scheduled and go from here.
All right.
Okay, have a good rest of your day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you.